Welcome to Imagine This Podcast,
a conversation show where we talk to Milwaukee's arts, cultural, and creative leaders to highlight all the incredible transformative work in our region.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you will see our region and all the awesome artists, arts organizations, and creative assets in Milwaukee in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
I'm MacArthur Antigua.
And I'm Lindsay Sheridan.
What season four are we in this week, Matt?
Season four of Murder, She Wrote. And it's Angela Lansbury's character is yet again solving murder mysteries.
Mm-hmm. Does anything good happen in the fourth season of Murder, She Wrote? I don't think so.
No, it's the same.
I was too young.
Every season was the same, David. It's rinse, repeat. It was just kind of like,
you're the same. You're 1 year younger than Mac.
I was too young.
You're not even one year younger than me. He's like a month younger than me. Like 2 months younger than me, and he's like, tell us about the reels.
Hey, Gramps, tell us about Murder, She Wrote. And Angela
tell
Lansbury.
Us about that time you took that stick and bindle and rode the rails after the Depression. Tell us the time eating hobo stew.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I like that. Well, we communicated via Morse code.
It's called mulligan stew. Hobo stew is actually called mulligan stew. For those
hobo,
of you who might not know.
Is it from Ireland?
I don't know. It might be.
Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Our very own Lindsay O'Sheridan was in the Irish quarter of South Milwaukee last week making leprechaun houses, apparently.
So, listeners, this is part of we're in the banter before we're going to get after the break. County Supervisor Jason Haas of the 14th District will be with us to talk about serious issues, i.e. the advancement of public funding for the arts and culture at the county level. That's serious issues. But before we're in the middle of the banter. So I'm just this, by the way, this is like the mall map. Where am I on the podcast? And I just showed them.
You are here.
Bathrooms are over there.
You can't find, yeah, right.
Elevators over there. Where's the
you
lady?
You cannot find the B. Talton bookstore.
Where are you here? Where's the Great Steak Fry Company? Where's that located? Lindsay, you don't have a mall store that you want to hype at all?
No, I don't have a mall store.
I like that you're not even bothering the differences.
Yonkers?
Just fast forwarding.
Claire's.
Thank you, Claire's.
How much time did you spend at Claire's as a youthful?
I don't know.
As a youthful youth. How many times did you spend at Claire's?
I mean, any millennial girl will tell you that's where we got our ears pierced. And that was probably, about it. Except for the occasional pop in for more tween adornment. Yeah.
How'd you know my blog, Tween Adornment? I didn't know that was my blog. Every week I talk about a different trinket or a different hair bob.
Mm-hmm.
Tween Adornment.
With all that hair you got. Yeah.
All that hair I got. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go, listeners. You're in the middle of it. But as we get into Lindsay O'Sheridan, St. Patrick's Day, what I was going to mention is, I'm about to take a bold take. You ready for my bold take?
Ready.
How much I've had to answer for my human first stand, my stand, by the way. Like, you don't know how often out there on Twitter I've been trying to fight for after Lindsay mischaracterized myself as a pet hater. I've had to sort of talk about, no, I'm not a pet hater. I'm a human firster. Whatever. I'm ready with another bold take. Are you ready for another bold take?
Yeah,
ready.
Let's hear it, ready. I guess.
My
yeah.
bold take is I think that St. Patrick's Day is a pseudo holiday. I think it's a pseudo,
oh,
like Valentine's
sure.
Day. It's a pseudo holiday.
And like, even it's not as bad a pseudo holiday as maybe Cinco de Mayo, but it is on the level of St. Yeah, Valentine's.
I think it's because we don't have anything in March, really, right? We don't have a day in March, and like that became let's do that day.
We need a thing.
It's a real bummer. We need a thing. It's a real bummer.
What I don't understand. So. You know, St. Patrick's Day falls in the middle of Lent. What I don't understand is that it is a day in which people
go nuts.
Of all persuasions drink a lot, right? And so
go nuts.
And so it feels like having it be in the middle of Lent, it the timing feels a little wrong.
Literally falling off the Lent wagon. Literally falling.
Potentially.
Falling
I mean, if that's the thing you're giving up for Lent, right?
What if you gave up sobriety for Lent? Then it's merely an accelerator. It's merely like
I appreciate David's takes on Catholicism essentially. In this moment. He's like,
I like that David's standing for Catholic guys. Let's stick with the Catholics, guys.
No, I just appreciate St. Patrick because he drove all the snakes out of Ireland, which makes it one more place I can go to.
That's right.
Not Austin, Texas, mind you.
Not yeah, Austin. So you know, our research friend volunteer is in Austin, and every time he zooms in for one of our meetings, I ask whether or not there are snakes, because there's not been a St. Patrick driving the snakes out of Austin, so therefore I can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
See, Mac, I don't know why you're looking at me all like suspiciously, given that you hate pets.
I
got a question.
You know, I have so much crisis communication I have to hire in light of it. Yes, Lindsay.
If you could create a fake holiday for anything or at any time, what would it be?
Thank you. Thank you for adding direction to this.
Oh, funding man. For the Arts Day.
Thank you.
No, Day. You got to say something else.
I would, you know what? I'm going to go with my first instinct and not edit myself. And there's something about like a hug day. Like let's like honor a hug. Like
a nice hug, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm just like, whatever. I mean, I think.
Are you sure there's not a National Hug Day?
I'm sure there's National Everything Day, but I think when Lindsay says there's an echelon.
Right. There's a time in which a cultural holiday sort of becomes a
jumps up to the next level. Right, every day it's a day, you know, National Mug That Holds My Pencils Day. You know, I'm sure there's totally those days. But
this reminds me that David owes us donut
employee appreciation day.
Employee appreciation
day.
We didn't get nothing.
But of course that day did not pass the cultural finish line.
Didn't jump up.
Did not become a pandemic. That's right.
It's not up there. Right. So again, like I think St. Patty's Day is at that level where everybody's like, oh yeah, it's a day. Well, I might not take it off, but I'm gonna do something on the technology.
But you've worn green in your lifetime on St. Patrick's Day.
I don't anything when I was under 13. I don't take responsibility for that. Because that was like everybody did it, and I don't know. I didn't know that. I didn't know what it was for.
I have an earnest answer, although it's probably unrealistic.
Yes.
Like, given that we as a society generally failed at the staying at home idea at the beginning of the pandemic, can we try for an actual stay at home day? Where you have enough time to prepare that like capitalism comes to a grinding halt for a day and everyone just stays home. And
you lost me at capitalism grinding halt for a day. Like, I don't even know a world that's possible. Like, that's where my imagination stops.
I didn't say it was realistic. Yeah.
You did frame it as such.
I know.
But here's my question for you though. How do we eat that day? We all agree to make soup that day on our own. Somebody's going to order DoorDash and then somebody's going to do that job.
That's the point. Everyone has to get their stuff together.
Yeah.
Have what they need at home and just pause. That's that.
For a day.
Pause day. Yeah.
There are flaws with this problem because people might get sick or injured. They have to go to the hospital. Like doctors can't pause. But is there like, could we overwhelmingly pause and then accommodate for the doctors that had to work on the pause day or something?
Maybe it's like a shift thing. We all do shifts.
Yeah.
Like if people are on.
Yeah.
It's like service industry night is like Monday nights because that's the only time people that work in the service industry can party. Right. On Monday. So
Mm-hmm.
be something like that. So we have the day of rest, but then like 2 days later, that's like National Health Providers Day of Rest.
National Health
First Responders Day. First Responders Day of Rest or something.
For all ones I had to work on the day.
Yeah, with the guys who had, for all the crew that had to work the
day. Yeah.
I'm trying to say yes to the idea.
National Day of Rest.
National Day of Rest. Nice. You know, I like that idea, but my fear, and I'm not saying don't do it because of my fear, some mattress company is gonna National Day of Rest sale, come to the mattress firm. You know, like somebody's gonna, you know, like MLK,
somebody's gonna commodify it, right?
Because capitalism.
There we go.
Because capitalism. But no, I like the intention behind it.
I appreciate both.
What time of year? Like what?
Christmas Day.
No.
Christmas Eve. Come on, we already got Christmas Day off. We already got that off.
No. I think it's like over the summer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think winter because of hibernation, you know, quietness, but I get it. Summer. Would people really stay indoors in the summer? Would people really stay indoors?
I guess I'd have to re-envision my National Day of Rest to be not just stay at home, but just like, you could go outside. You could go outside during the summer.
Could you also make sure whatever you bill it, Lindsay, make sure you keep the preposition, like National Day of blank. That has a very like official sounding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not like National Rest Day. It's National Day of Rest.
I'll keep thinking about it. I'm sorry, I don't have all the answers yet.
It's all right. We didn't know we were going to be talking about that this week. It's not on you. You did pretty well. I have National Hug Day, or National Day of Hugs, if I were to say the same nomenclature as I said off before. National Day of Rest. And David, your holiday would be National what?
Fried Chicken Eating Day.
That's it. Okay. David's in the pocket of big chicken.
What are the logistics chicken. Of that?
Big breading. David is in the pocket of
chicken.
Big breading.
That's right.
Big
that's
breading. Right. Takes two checks.
It essentially is like the KFC like branded holiday, right? It's essentially like that's the day when KFC is like, this is our day.
Day of eating fried chicken. What do the people who don't eat meat do that day?
Beyond Chicken.
He had an answer ready. Yeah. Or like
he's
tofu.
Already prepped.
Or yeah. Tofu. That's right. That's right. Yum. This yeah. This of course is going to make big meat even bigger, right? That's that is the ultimate problem.
You know
that.
Why I wouldn't do that day? Mm-hmm. Because that would ignite.
Well, I know
a
why you wouldn't do that day.
That would ignite a shortage. That would ignite a shortage.
And no, but
what do we do for the other 364 days? What do we do?
Without St. Patrick's Day doesn't ignite a shortage of alcohol. I mean, it's fine.
Have you met this country?
The system would figure it out.
Yeah. Says the guy who's worked in hunger.
The food system would figure it out.
Look,
we waste 40% of our national food production. There's no reason why we can figure out how to. Like,
I'm glad we got those stats in the spot.
How to make sure that we have enough fried chicken to go around.
All right. So National Day of Rest, National Day of Hugs, National Day of Fried Chicken Consumption. Those are all just, listeners. Let us.
I just want to say, you know, David's was about consumption, and ours was about
connection.
I was going to say how
humanity.
That's right.
Humanity right. connection.
Yeah. Interpret that as you will, listeners. But maybe it's time.
Well, somebody had to.
Also, in hen houses across the country, rolling. David's photo has a big X.
Yeah, that's right.
Public enemy number one to all chickens. David, see none of our stuff makes us a pariah for any sort of special interest group.
This is essentially my audition for becoming the colonel of the 21st century,
or the lobbyist for the Purdue Farms.
I can't wait.
You can't wait. He's like, wait, they'll just pay you in chicken.
Yum Brands?
They'll just pay you in the chicken.
Yum Brands? I'm coming.
He's coming. That was a blatant cry for help. That was his plea. And yes, click on the link to get to his LinkedIn page, Yum Brands, so that you can hire him. Also, if you're an Indeed, go to lead, you should promo code Imagine.
For cholesterol, drugs, and everything else. No free ads here. But call us.
All right.
Please add us.
Yes, please add us. Well, that's enough of that banter. As we pivot, a reason we're talking about national things, or at least things that are government mandated, we're going to pivot now to the topic of our own government at the county level. As you may have listened in the past, we've had on the past County Supervisor of the 14th District, Jason Hawes, to talk about the importance of integrating arts and culture at the sort of county support and county funding. And we're excited for him to see, after the break, he's going to talk about some of the advances in making sure that our county is investing in arts and culture and moving that 16 cents per capita number up. The county's going to do some heavy lifting on that, and he'll talk about that in a second. But a little bit about Jason Hawes. He was the first elected 14th District Supervisor in April 2011, and then he won re-election in 12, 16, 18, and 2020, and serves as the chair of the Finance Committee, as well as the member of the Audit Committee and the Milwaukee Commission on Aging. He's a proud resident of Bayview and an active member of the Garden District neighborhood. He's also a Panther alum, 2009, with a degree in history, and has worked in media as well as the computer industry. Foreshadowing. That being said, after the break, County Supervisor for not too long, Jason Hawes. We are excited to have back on the pod County Supervisor Jason Hawes. Sir, welcome back.
Hello, Mac. Hello, David.
You know, we were going to make this a D&D role-playing thing, but we just didn't have enough.
But
we just didn't have enough juice from the audience.
Well, here's the thing, right? I mean, Mac is being a little bit shy, but he didn't want to challenge Supervisor Hawes to a backyard wrestling to match to see who would be the dungeon master.
Oh. Well, you know, I'm known for my magical skills, but I hate to have to like do a sumo flex on you or something.
It's a shame because I got a sweet level 11 paladin character that's still just waiting to break that character sheet out and have it. But that's all right. For another pod, another episode, of course, we're having you here to talk about the exciting progress that's being made at the county level with regards to supporting the arts and culture in the county, which is, you know, one of the stats we like to beat on here is that, what is it, 16 cents per capita, David, that there's public funding in the state of Wisconsin?
From the state, yeah, that's right.
But what's exciting is I think in the coming days, the county is going to do its share of moving that number in a bigger direction. So we're excited to hear that. So welcome, Jason. And just would, you know, I guess to start, you know, since we last talked, we talked about, man, what would it take to increase, you know, public funding for the county? And since we met at the end of like sort of during COVID, we saw arts and cultural organizations get a boost from the county, as well as individual artists themselves to a tune of like a combined $1 million of, funding. And then also now we've seen the Milwaukee Public Museum have its future a little more solidified as a result of this, as well as the county board being established or reestablished as a reasserted. So would love to get your reaction or your thoughts on that, as well as other exciting things that are coming down the pike. What's it been like for you? What have you seen, or what has been that for you?
Yeah, thank you so much. Well, this has been really a ton has happened since I last spoke to you, and I want you to know, I know all your listeners, your listener is also very curious as to how that game is going for me, and I'm excited to report to you today, my dear and only friends, I have moved on from playing Ultima 4, Quest of the Avatar, to Ultima 5, Warriors of Destiny.
That's what really people are listening for. That I'm so glad. Now, are you playing that on like a Commodore 64, or are you actually playing that on a PC? Like, are you really retro gaming, you know?
No, I'm not that old school. I am not that old. I mean, no, it's actually, it's crazy. We're totally going off topic here, but all these games you can play them through emulation or through some.
Yeah, ROMs, kind of, some emulation, some ROMs.
Yeah, it's actually totally off track here, but you can get Ultima 4 and 5 as separate standalone applications. You can play them on your own time. So, you know, when people think you're really focused in a meeting, no, you're actually trying to remember the correct mix of regions to cast the Tremor spell. And how is it in Ultima 5? Because in 5, it went from P for Tremor to is like Anox Vermin or whatever. That's all complicated. So yeah, it's going fine.
Also, this doesn't placate the rumor, Supervisor Haas, that you will have your own booth at the Midwest Gaming Exhibition at the Wisconsin Center coming up this April, right? So this doesn't really hinder that possibility. You'll be holding court, literally holding court at a booth.
Sir, I've been the last person to hear that rumor.
This probably speaks to there's not very few of us that are spreading that rumor around.
By the way, I love the fact that Supervisor Ha has basically just pulled a politician judo maneuver on you, Mac, where you asked the question about county investment in the arts, and he just sort of took it in the pathway of Ultima 5.
I like that, but also let me pivot to talk about the importance.
Well, actually, I got a great analogy now, because see, in Ultima 5, see, the Shadow Lord had risen up. They've never existed in the universe before, but they kidnapped Lord British, and with his dark rule, they were in random cities. You go to a city in the game, and the Shadow Lord might be there, and it totally affects everyone's play. But really more of an analogy for the past county administration. We had all this dramatic stuff happening, but now, with thanks to County Executive David Crowley, see, I'm bringing it back around now.
There it is.
Very smooth, thank you. With exec Crowley, we're getting along fantastically well, and things are actually running better than ever before. Probably the smoothest it's been in the county relations ever, literally. I'm not totally aware how it used to be, but I've never seen a government being so functional and so well integrated and coordinated between the departments. So it's fantastic. Since we last spoke, though, let's see. We've the big news here is about the Milwaukee Public Museum.
Yeah.
That beloved institution, unfortunately, you know, the hard thing to deal with is MPM as we know it today. Some people I know, remember when it was actually at inside the Milwaukee Public Library downtown. Since the 60s, it's been in that tower, the seven-story tower on 7th and Wells, or James Lavelle Street, as it's better known. And I'd like to have some words with whoever built that building, because they had the brilliant idea of putting sewer mains and the vintage electrical system in the basement, along with where the collection would be stored, the priceless four million piece museum collection would be stored. Fortunately, it's going to get out of there.
Yeah.
And that'll happen in the relatively near future. Of course, assuming we can get this $45 million funding deal pulled off. Wow. The county's portion, that is just the county, Milwaukee County's portion of the funding for the new public museum. I'm very happy to report that we had a special joint meeting of the County Board Finance Committee and the Parks Committee. Parks Committee oversees the museum. Finance Committee, we oversee the dollars. The vast majority of members on that joint committee meeting voted in approval of the deal, the $45 million deal. So that means it now advances to the full county board for final approval. Because this is a big, special, and very important item, I made some calls, and I'm pulling some strings to have a special meeting of the county board happen out of the usual order. So we should have a special county board meeting next week, Tuesday, just to hear this, to consider the public museum deal. It's unusual, but it's a very unusual, but this is a once in a generation kind of decision. So it took us 5 hours of discussion and debate last week, Tuesday. It may not take even a fifth of that next time, but this is such a big deal. I think we need to have it separately discussed. And I did what I need to do to have the special meeting. So kind of a power move, speaking of judo, in my final weeks on the county board.
You know, I was struck, I read somewhere, I can't remember where, but I read somewhere that to renovate or up or to do the maintenance on the current building where the MPM is currently, that it would cost more than the current budget of the new facility they're building across the street from the Fiserv. And that's just that is crazy, right? Or I don't know about crazy, but that blew my mind when I read that statistic. And I wonder, you know, as we think about like kind of the ways in which the county invests in these cultural assets, obviously the public museum, obviously the Marcus Center, our parks, I think about the domes, like how do we as a community really come together to ensure that these assets that sort of speak to our shared cultural life continue to have the kind of vibrancy, so we're not in a position where, you know, we're sort of put in this role of like having to like have either $240 million of deferred maintenance or build a new building for, you know, $250 million or whatever it is.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that. That's part of why I ran for the county board back in 2011. I was really concerned that the county executive at the time was trying to close our pools. And specifically at a very young child then, and we loved going to the Humboldt Park wading pool. I knew the county exec then, Scott something, I think was his name. He was trying to close the pools, and I wasn't going to stand for that. But I had ideas for how to keep it going, how to keep the pools open, how to try and save the parks. Well, you know, I joke that David, I regret to report that I was failed to single-handedly save the entire Milwaukee County Parks system from its otherwise doubtful future. Because I can't do it alone. No individual can do it alone, but we have a lot of people working in the community. We've really seen that through our work together on the arts and cultural fronts.
Yeah.
And if I'm my direct response as a county supervisor is, well, it's about the money, it's about the funding, it's about the revenue. We don't have, the county cannot bring in sufficient revenue right now to keep everything open and thriving to the level we would like it to. What we're doing with the public museum, without getting too deep into the weeds, I'll say we're issuing a new debt, a new public debt to the sale of that debt we will use to fund this museum. And that's because actually the state legislature said, if you can, you can get some money from us and you got to put in some money of your own. And then you got to do like more than three times as much private fundraising on top of that.
Right.
So, yeah. State's given $40 million after the county contributes $45 million, just Milwaukee County. And then they got to do $120 million or $150 million of private fundraising. So, yeah. David, Mac, if you have any rich listeners, I'd like them to know that we value their support for this public institution. And actually, there's a quick aside. You know how I love asides after the last 15 of them we just went through. Yeah, it's the name, by the way, very, very important thing about this deal with the museum. It is going to change a lot. A lot of it's about to change in a big way. Part of the state's requirement was the name be different. So the Milwaukee Public Museum is dead. Long live Milwaukee Public Museum. It will become the Wisconsin Museum of Nature and Culture. One thing that now that annoyed a lot of county supervisors, including myself, and we said, how can we keep Milwaukee in the name? Can it still be the Milwaukee Public Museum
of Wisconsin history and culture?
is that like when they say like it's Wintrust Field at Soldier Field? There's something like right there that to do me.
Pretty much. Like whatever, you know, I still say County Stadium.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
People still call it Miller Park. You know, it's not, you know, right. So.
Yeah. And so it's a really old school, just can't deal. But we're going to keep Milwaukee in the names. The complex is going to be a complex of museums, meaning there's more than one.
Right.
It's going to have the successor, I like to say the successor to the Milwaukee Public Museum and Betty Brin Children's Museum will both be co-located on the same site together. Mm-hmm. That's a first big change. So it's going to be called the Milwaukee Museum Commons.
The MMC.
Yeah. Because that also rolls off the tongue. No, okay. And they're going to emphasize the Milwaukee County collection is kept there at the Milwaukee Museum Commons. So it's going to be hyper verbose in a way that I do not needlessly take a kind disposition to, because if you ever need verbosity, just give me a call. But that's not how it is. Anyway, not our decision. Another big, actually, a very serious thing here. A lot of us have a real deep emotional bond with a lot of stuff in the museum today. The stuff that we see, the dioramas in particular. Like on Twitter, I've been talking about how I'm sorry, I don't know what's going to happen to you at MPM Snake.
Right.
Yeah. Some positive points among this. Some of the diorama stuff will be integrated into the new museum of its very long and largesic name. The butterfly exhibit will be there again. Recreated a new butterfly exhibit. I believe the streets of old Milwaukee will be coming back to the new joint as well. And I don't know what of the dioramas will or will not be preserved, but some old favorites are going to keep coming back, like maybe the cat that's now in the streets of old Milwaukee, screeches at us as you walk through. I'm sure my 11-year-old hopes the candy store will preserve their
course. Animal.
So yeah, it's seriously, folks, it is going to be a big deal to lose NPM as we know it. It will be, that's like a legitimate loss, and even Betsy, something to have some grief for, something to grieve the loss of, because I loved NPM as a little kid when my family moved here. And like when I came back years later, I was just delighted to see that one particular circular display with the gemstones and the semi-precious stones. It was still there on the second floor. It's exactly as I remembered it. It was fantastic. So long-winded way of saying, yeah, it's going to change. Change is hard. Mm-hmm. But, you know, not all is lost. And the important thing is with this deal, we'll still have a museum. We'll still have the county culture, the county collection. As Milwaukee County owns the 4 million piece collection. So everything you see in that museum, aside from the traveling exhibits, that's ours, as in the people's. And so we'll still have that. And if we didn't do it, quite honestly, if we didn't do this, didn't pursue the New Deal, the museum would have to close.
Yeah, right.
And then it's a big mess because we have to figure out what to do with the collection. And let's not go down that serious deep rabbit hole.
Well, I think so. I think that this sort of like is a good transition to another piece of legislation that's sort of working through the pipeline that's going to be coming up, I think, to the Finance Committee this week, which is the study group that's your resolution that's going to hopefully bring back the Public Art Commission. And what that does, and again, this ties into the museum conversation, because the museum is an incredibly large capital project. But the Public Art Commission would devote some percentage of any capital project above $500,000 towards the creation of public art. And this was a commission or a program of the county that was cut or at least ceased in operation in 2012. Can you talk a little bit more about that, Supervisor Haas?
Yeah. So you described the old Public Art Committee.
Committee. That's right. That's right. That's right.
The brief history that did exist till 2012, it committed, I think, 1 or 2% of every new capital project. And in government speak, that means a capital project is something large and permanent or above $100,000. So for instance, if a new park pavilion was built, kind of laughable premise, just given the county right now, but a new building. For instance, when we were about to undertake either remodeling or building a new COGS center over on North 14th and West of Leet, where all our social services are housed. And with that, I pushed the Department of Health and Human Needs, which is in charge of that building, I pushed them, say, hey, how are you going to include public art? Where will it be? How will it be? Just haven't been specific because we don't know what's going to happen there. But I've emphasized to them, we got to have this in the ground, on the ground, and in the running once the new building is complete. Anyway, so on next week, Thursday, I'm actually going to have three resolutions come into Finance Committee. One of them is about open data. Which is a very cool topic I could spend a whole hour talking to you about on a different podcast. Sorry, listener, you're prepared from it today.
That's a different podcast
network.
That's
a tease. That's right. That's a like it. It's like a plug.
My second resolution, it deals with goats. Goats.
Are you serious, Matt? Goats. Seriously, yeah, goats.
100%. Yep. Our favorite herbivorous hunter-gatherers, plant eaters. Back in January or December, we passed a resolution asking the Parks Department to look at using goats to perform landscaping or overgrown county parks. This time, I'm going to have a little cash for them if the Finance Committee agrees and the County Board agrees, have a little cash money for them to finance getting the goats in there. And that's actually the most widely popular thing I've ever done on the county board.
Is this goat's resolution?
Yeah, yeah. People are so freaking excited about it. They want to see the goats. They want to see the goats. And they want to see them picking up the leaves and eating the plants and doing all that. Yeah. Wow. More popular than the beer garden thing, which is my last.
Right. I was about to say, you also did the beer garden thing, right? So that the goats are beating the beer garden.
Well, actually, Dave, if we want to get technical about it, I also sponsored the reconstruction and smoothing of County Highway Y on an ongoing basis in 2015. That's a very exciting topic. We can talk about it on your.
I'm not surprised that Goats beats the County Highway one, but the beer garden.
Well, yeah, no, yeah. So anyway, that's neither here nor there because you want to talk about my public art resolution. Make sure your listener is sitting down for this because this is so exciting, man. This would form a work group between the Office of the Comptroller, the Office of Strategy, Performance, and Budget to evaluate how to integrate capital funding for public art into new capital projects.
Wow.
Yes. And if you're still awake, that means we're going to look at it, have the county look at it because I've been very steady. Past several months, reminding people we need to get this back in. We need to get this into the county. We need to have this in our programs and in our facilities. Definitely the new building projects. And we spend maybe $10 million a year at least on capital projects. Mm. That's a lot to you and me. Of course, a tiny fraction of what we need.
Right. Yeah.
But like, I'm thinking of the Kosciuszko Community Center in Kosci Park in Walker's Point. That building needs a lot of help, and that'd be a fantastic place to integrate a ton more public art because it's such a part of the community there as it is. Mm. The new COG Center, whatever form it'll take, we need it there. And there we can have it, be on sculpture and wall paintings or art on the walls, around the floors, around the ceiling, we have like performance space, make mm-hmm. it community accessible to the community, bring the community in instead of having it be this place where you gotta go because you gotta deal with your child support or you gotta deal with your food insecurity, all these, making it less a place of drudgery and government service. And really, I think public art can be so vital to making it for public service, mm-hmm. for engaging the community with the government, which is also going to be served by open data. And if I can just take a few minutes to talk about that, David.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, was that Mac? Yeah, please go on.
No, I mean, I think...
Well, by the way, Supervisor Oz, this is a form of public data, right? Like us doing this podcast is a form of data archiving and public data.
Yeah.
Well, it will be free to download.
Open to every county resident, should they want it.
You don't have to be a county resident. This will be open to all the many subscribers around the world. Actually, I think that's true.
That's right.
Yeah. So they could, and it's got to be openly, freely available, accessible, downloadable, shareable, and reusable. So somebody could do a remix of this episode where I'm really excited talking about my resolutions. And the last episode is in, well, you see, now you got to, if you mix, it's sulfuric ash, mandrake root, and black pearl.
Mandrake root comes back again. I love it. We did it. We did it. So the third piece, right, and this is something that you and I and our groups have been working on quite a bit, which is capturing 2% of the ARPA county funds to invest in arts and culture. And, we were just so excited, Jason, when through our process over the last few weeks and months to have been invited to submit that proposal to the Set County subgroup. Mm-hmm. And we were a little bummed out that we missed the March ARPA subcommittee meeting, we're excited to hopefully be included in the April ARPA subcommittee meeting. And just to give our listeners a sense of what this thing would, what our proposal would entail, it's a $3.6 million request to expand access and welcome at arts and cultural institutions for county residents. It would invest in diverse new voices to produce, you know, work to sort of share their story and engage artists from historically marginalized groups. So that's BIPOC, veterans, disabled, people with disabilities, like all the sorts of people that we don't typically hear from. And then the third piece would be to establish a civic artist in residence program at community and civic institutions throughout our county, which Jason, I just have to say thank you for partnering with us and sort of thinking through this, because I believe that this sort of triumvirate of programs not only helps arts organizations, but also increases the ability for county residents to access arts and cultural activities, partially because, I mean, not only have people lost a lot of jobs over the last few years, but man, inflation has gone through the roof, right? And like ability to access these programs have just harder and harder and harder. And also for people to be able to, and to also hear again from some of these artists who don't typically have access to these stages, I think is just such an incredible opportunity for the county to really invest and put money behind this idea that arts can drive equity, health, and welcome.
Right, and the county's mission back in 2019, we adopted a mission. First time I've known the county to have a mission, actually, beyond just carrying out its prescribed roles. Our mission became to achieve what we call racial equity, where everybody has the same, it's not just, you know, equalizing, making it equal, because a lot of people are disadvantaged by the fact of their birth, where, to whom they were born, all sorts of things. You know, like people of color in Milwaukee just have a harder time. Mm-hmm. So working to make that, make it less difficult for them to have a sustainable life and to have a longer and better life too, more productive lives. Mm-hmm. We do that if we can raise all boats, well, right. We're all better off. So yeah, and the arts is a really important way to do that. And again, one of my goals when I first ran for office was to push to keep arts funding on the table, you know, or bring it back. And with our work, it's been way beyond what I ever anticipated. Mm. Yeah, because at the start of the pandemic, of course, everything was dire and nothing was looking good. Then David, you called me and said, hey, supervisor, there's money in the CARES Act specifically allocated for arts and culture. And I said, why, yes, of course there is. I'm going to do everything I can to help you get your hands on it. And by that, I mean, get it to the people that need it, because it didn't just benefit your organization. It went to the people. Right. It went to our artist community.
That's right.
And that's been very fantastic. But what we're talking about today, hopefully next month, in Milwaukee County, we have the American Recovery Plan Act, which we refer to as ARPA. The American Recovery Plan Act Task Force, which figures out how to use the money we got from the federal government, from the Biden administration, to use in planning our recovery from the pandemic. And as David so eloquently put it, yeah, we want to have 2% given to the arts and cultural industry here in Milwaukee County. And that has amazing potential. You know, I think of UW Extension, UW Extension through Milwaukee County, every dollar they get in, they can multiply it 4 or 5 times. Mm. I think we can do that and more with arts and culture stuff.
Yeah.
People don't realize what an engine it is. It generates hundreds of millions of dollars a year, be it in sales tax, you know, from ticket sales or from selling of our items and selling of art. But it's, I don't want to focus on monetizing everything, because that sucks the life out of it to me. But it's like the cultural value it adds. People feel grounded and connected with one another if they can create together. That's not about money. Mm-hmm. For the government, it's got to be about the money, because that's how we figure out how we spend our stuff. But that's why we've been working so hard to say, look at these values we create. They're not just in dollars and cents, but it's in the connection. It's the community, the wholeness. It's the stability that we can bring. And that's why, there's a better than even chance I won't be a county supervisor when this comes back. In early April, because I'll still be a supervisor then. Yeah. Sometime in mid-April. It's not quite defined at this point. But until then, I can come in, I can march in that room. I can get on the Zoom call with them and say, hey, do you know who I am? And they'll be like, no, I'm sorry. Who are you, sir? I'm Jason. I'm the finance committee chairman. I'm a very important person. And
I got to say, though, Jason, like one thing I was covering the ARPA task force meeting yesterday. And because I know many of our listeners probably weren't also in that meeting room, you had this moment, and I'm not going to name names or anything, but like you had this moment where you definitely reminded people that there was an arts and culture request, and that a budget number was not included in your appendices that the committee got, despite the fact that whomever submitted that proposal was very clear about their budget number. And it was even though I was listening to another meeting at the same time, because I was in a meeting that Mac was running, I don't know if Mac saw me, but I like definitely like zoomed away to make sure that I heard what I actually heard. It was incredible. Thank you for that. I mean, I think that's one thing that you know, if we're you just spoiled it a little bit, right? I mean, you are retiring from the county board after 10 years. Our spring election.
Yeah, 10 years.
11 years. Right? What is who are we? Who's our call? Who's going to be the arts and culture guy?
Yeah, who's our champion?
Yeah, who's going to be our champion?
Who are the Avengers? Who are we going to call upon to help us?
Well, excuse me. That's actually a very good question.
As he walks away.
I thought he was going to do like the Ronald Reagan thing. I can't hear you over the chopper. The chopper's, I can't hear you.
That's definitely Reagan, yeah. No, to answer your question, I don't know. no one has said, don't worry, Jason, I'll step in and fill your amazingly large shoes.
Yeah.
Because no one does that, really. I had little, some people were like, oh my God, you have such big shoes to fill after I got on the county board. But I've made my own mark, as you can see now. We will see. I'm thinking of, so one thing that's happening now, the county board is turning over a lot more frequently.
Sure.
We were made part-time. You can't see the air quotes I'm making my fingers as I'm waving this red cup of water around. Part-time by state law, which is a damn lie. It is not part-time at all, but
not when you were in that ARPA subcommittee meeting yesterday for 8 hours. I mean, that was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, that's only a very slight exaggeration, actually. Yeah. And we had that for 5 hours, I think, and then I had a finance committee agenda setting and then something else. Anyways, so it's going to be up to the public to pressure the new board. I was trying to say the board turns over a lot. So we are getting new people much more frequently. I think I'm currently the third most senior member of the board. The other two more senior guys are both in challenged races. They could conceivably lose. Not to belittle their obviously worthwhile contributions to supporting the arts and culture in Milwaukee that pale in comparison to others. I don't know. You have to talk to the new supervisors. There's going to be a bunch coming on board. The challenged races, Willie Johnson, one of our longest serving members, he represents River West and now much of Glendale and the city of Milwaukee. He has a challenger. He's been the most sympathetic for our cause. And for other things, I served on the Historical Society Board of Directors with Supervisor Johnson. So that would be a big loss. I am going through my list of other soups and then I don't want to name any names because I don't know if anybody else, frankly, has the same passion I do. Right. The ability to reference obscure video games from the 1980s, talking about public art financing in one fell swoop. And that is a real talent.
Guys. Nobody's going to follow you on that.
That's really
we don't expect anyone to follow that.
Well, we will look forward to you introducing us to people, to your colleagues, so that Mac can bend their ear and I can bend their ear and get them on our side.
And well, before we contract you to do the What Really Happened podcast of how the sausage making of law, would love to close out by asking, more importantly, like you said, it's not just your job. It's not just David's job, right, to make sure this happens. Everybody can take a role. And so really, from your perspective, what can the public do to support the Public Art Committee, as well as this proposal to welcome people back to our arts and cultural places, as well as connect artists into communities more directly in solving problems?
Yeah, a couple of really easy things that people can do. Number one is communicate with your county supervisor. Mm-hmm. We're folks as well as everyone else, but the thing, sometimes people get overwhelmed. They think about contacting their government officials because it can be intimidating. It really can be intimidating. So like, I don't know who these people are. I think I saw them once in the parade. And but the point of our, American representative democracy is people in positions like mine, county soup, we're supposed to listen to our constituents. Mm-hmm. And might surprise people. It takes a very few people saying, you need to do this. Mm. A lot of times you get one or two people, if it's not something terribly consequential, if it's like something small, like maybe on this public art item, I got it coming up next Thursday. Just like a few people write their supervisors, they'll remember that. Mm-hmm. It's in our minds. Yeah. If you call our office, you leave us a message, we'll hear the message. We're not at the courthouse, but all the phone messages I get come straight to me by email. Mm. And so I hear them. Good supervisors also listen to them. The better supervisors also respond to them. No judgment against any of my colleagues. Love them all, mostly. Email is the easiest thing. It's super easy. Just email your supervisor, say, hey, I support I want to see the public art thing move forward. We have been getting a lot of emails from people actually who work inside the Milwaukee Public Museum, saying, please support the new museum deal. That's such a gigantic thing. It's almost inconceivable that someone could really genuinely oppose its completion. It'd be like the glorious president of Russia invading Ukraine.
It's ludicrous.
Wouldn't do that. Really.
I also want to shout out my supervisor, Sheldon Wasserman, always responds to my emails. Cool. So
excellent.
Shout out to Supervisor Wasserman.
Well, the other thing is that if you just end up playing in Mac's weekly basketball game, you may run into the county supervisor.
Yes,
I'm sorry, the county executive sweeping the floors prior to the game.
Smack.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be hazardous for me.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, Jason, this has been so much fun. Thank you again for all of the work and advocacy over the years, and then particularly over the last few years, in bringing real money to the arts and cultural community. And then hopefully, as we sort of push through this last leg with the Public Art Committee and also this ARPA proposal, it's just been such a pleasure, and we know that we will probably have you on our new podcast, Ultima Walkthroughs, with Jason Haas. We will look forward to producing that podcast with you.
Finally, you can be done with your term, so you can really focus on the important things, which is,
Yeah, which is Ultima. Yeah, that's right. Most important. And Paladins.
My wife will appreciate that a lot.
Yeah.
Where can people find you post county supervisorial work?
Yeah. Well, social media makes it really easy to find people. I've become a lot more active on Twitter lately. I am there. My handle on Twitter is at Mark Hazah, HAAZAH. Very similar to my email address, hazah@gmail.com. I'm on Facebook. Do that less now because, Facebook. many issues there. But this David, we're treading on a delicate subject here, my dear and only friend, aside from your listener, of course. I started this nefarious rumor last year. I started a rumor that I wanted to remain in public service after I left the board. And apparently a lot of the right people heard that.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
So wait, you're not here to dispel that rumor? You want us to propagate that rumor for you?
Yes.
If you could do everything in your power to make sure that spreads no further than
these four walls? Yeah, absolutely. In the Zoom room? 100%.
Let's see, there's three rooms visible right now in this call to me. So that's at least 12 walls. Anyway. Or better yet, if we make it a fact, then it's no longer a rumor.
That's right. That's right. Well, in any way, we will obviously look forward to seeing you. As neighbors, I look forward to seeing you at the coffee shops. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will we'll chat more soon.
Thanks so much, Supervisor Haas.
I'm, believe it or not, I'm humbled by that and honored and grateful. So thank you all very much.
He's a loyal listener to the pod.
Loyal listener, loyal guest, loyal computer gamer.
Yeah, so it's so great to have people who listen to the pod on. Because he's like, let us know when he's listened to the pod. Yeah. And it's great to, he's been a great partner in advancing arts and culture at the county level. So we're going to miss him.
Just to underscore his commentary about like what's everyday citizens can do and how they can advance these priorities. I mean, he's not lying when, he and other supervisors get all of the messages that you all send to them.
Mm-hmm.
And moreover, that like when we were able to get and move that $700,000 in County CARES Act funding, literally because I sent him an email about it and he was like, oh, that's really interesting. Let me try to work on it. That's not just him, right? The other supervisors on the board are also your community members, and they all want our county to work and be better and serve you all better. So it is not a, just to underscore that is a serious that's how things get done, right? In local communities, is you all taking advantage of your ability to reach out to your elected officials and telling them what you want.
And you know who's really good at telling us what they want?
Our listeners, of course.
Thanks for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed it and you'd like to help support the pod or help support anything else about talking to us, please share it with others, the podcast, post about it on social media, leave a rating or review, and contact us directly at pod@imaginemke.org.
Imagine This Podcast is a team effort produced, edited, and hosted by MacArthur Antigua, David Lee, and Lindsay Sheridan, and is the flagship of the Imagine MKE Podcast Network. Make sure you also listen and subscribe to Black Imagination and back episodes of Arts Forward MKE, all of which can be found at imaginemke.org/podcasts.
Our podcast theme was produced and created by Bobby Drake. And to catch all the latest from Imagine MKE, hit us up at Twitter and Instagram @Imagine_MKE or Facebook, Imagine MKE, or head on over to the imaginemke.org and sign up for The Amplifier, a bi-weekly update in your email inbox.
Thanks again, and we will catch you next Tuesday when the Ebersol takeover of Imagine MKE continues, when we have Jeremy Ebersol, CEO, Executive Director of the Historical Preservation Alliance, with us to talk about preserving space.
Till then, bye.
We're recording the podcast. Yeah, I'm recording me right now.
This is live. This is
come
awesome.
Come on in, Tammy.
Tammy's got comments.
She can really only make it better at this point.
She's got takes. I'm saying about yourself.
We need to finish this because Lindsay's got to go in 10 minutes. So we got to go.
Can I use our for the day?
No, you can't.